Skype was the biggest video calling platform in the world. But over time, people gradually moved on to newer platforms. Except, that's not entirely true. Right now, Skype still has 300 million monthly active users, despite an ocean of competitors. So, what's going on? Is Skype dying or secretly thriving? Did it even die to begin with? Skype was the first of its kind, and naturally, its growth was unbelievable, even by tech company standards. Just 2 years after launching, they had 50 million users, and just a single year later, that doubled to 100 million. By this point, over 7 billion minutes of calls had been made on Skype.
Online service that lets you make free calls anywhere in the world, and perhaps unsurprisingly, the company behind it has never made any real money.
They were on top of the world with no one able to challenge them, which somewhat explains what came next. Over the years, Skype began making some strange decisions. For one, they introduced innovative features and then removed them soon after. One of their earliest features was public chats, which were likely an early version of Discord servers. It was released in 2006 and removed in 2009. There was also Split View, allowing users to display multiple chats at once, a very popular feature which was also removed. Though that's just the tip of the iceberg, many useful features were scrapped, including the Skype Me status, Skype Prime, Skype Find, third-party integrations, and many more. Some were understandable, though some were undeniably loved by users. Microsoft justified these decisions saying, "We're always working hard to improve your Skype experience. Sometimes this means that we may discontinue certain Skype features or products when we feel they can no longer help you get the most from Skype." The Skype team maintained this strange trend despite the harsh backlash from users for many years. But that's not all. Skype was also quite unreliable and had frequent technical issues. In the early 2000s, this was understandable, but Skype was always a bit unreliable. In 2010, they had a global crash, not just for a few minutes or hours, but days. They had a few of these too. Skype has had a history of strange technical issues. The worst part was that it appears that Skype didn't care. At this point, they were the biggest and had a monopoly. They could do whatever they wanted, but that was about to change. Around this time, another platform began exploding and had caught Microsoft's attention, Slack. Real-time messaging, file sharing, and soon audio calls. They were entirely built for internal business communications, and Microsoft wanted in. Initially, Microsoft contemplated making an $8 billion bid for Slack, but they decided to take another path. Bill Gates himself argued that Microsoft should instead make a competitor. How? Using Skype. The only issue was that Skype wasn't really a Slack competitor. It was designed for personal use, not for businesses like Slack was. But they had just spent billions on buying Skype itself, so they wanted to get their money's worth. They would pivot the company towards business, and Skype would be bundled with Microsoft's Office 365 suite. Leaks soon confirmed this new version would be called Skype Teams, but eventually became Skype for Business. It would have dedicated channels within a broader company server, among other standard features like direct messaging and calling. Microsoft did plan to add some innovative ideas like threaded conversations long before Slack or others added them. But ultimately, Skype would become a copy of Slack, and things didn't quite pan out as expected. Microsoft found out pretty quickly that Skype wasn't working as businesses expressed their frustrations with the software. Video simply won't work or fails during the video conference at some point with as little as 2 participants. "We would like to use Skype for Business, which is part of our Office 365 suite, but can't make the jump yet with its performance issues. Even when users got it in their 365 bundle, it just wasn't worth it because it wasn't built for businesses. It was cobbled together. It didn't have a core focus and it was unreliable, unlike Slack." Microsoft realized they needed to build their own tool, so in November of 2016, just a year after their grand plan with Skype, they announced their new platform, Teams. Skype Teams, just without Skype. It was still eerily similar to Slack, but still had some differences, including the threaded conversations. But the reality is that Teams didn't have to be different to Slack because it was already in the Office 365 bundle. a plan with 85 million monthly active commercial users, all of which suddenly had a Slack alternative at their fingertips. Why pay for a separate service when you had another almost identical service that you were already paying for? Teams began to catch on with these businesses, and it was clear that it was no Skype. It was built for business and, more importantly, worked when it needed to. Slack released a funny response to Microsoft, challenging them head-on, which is worth the read. But more importantly, where did this leave Skype? That's a good question, because it seems Microsoft didn't know either. They still continued Skype for Business as a service, but were gradually giving it less and less focus. It was a service with no target audience in a strange state of limbo. Not Microsoft's main offering, but not discontinued either. Then, something unexpected happened. The global pandemic turned the business world on its head. With offices shut down, all in-person meetings were moved online. This caused a surge in demand for video calls, the biggest in history. This was Skype's chance. They were the first to dominate this industry and had the most brand awareness. But this is where things went from bad to worse. As it turns out, another unexpected competitor had been on the rise, one that launched as far back as 2013 and was gradually carving out a market in the industry. It wasn't another Slack or Teams. It was, of course, Zoom. It was a simple video meeting platform. All you needed was a link to the meeting, and it was free to use for up to 40 minutes. So, how did things play out? In March of 2020, among the first lockdowns, Skype's daily users jumped to 40 million, a 70% increase. Very impressive, until you look at Zoom. Around the same time, in a single week, Zoom's daily users surged past 300 million, 30x their previous month. Zoom became the standard amongst 71% of the Fortune 500 and over 200,000 other businesses. But how? How did Zoom absolutely dominate this market, given that Skype had almost the exact same features? Meetings that didn't require an install that were shared with the link. They also had incredible brand awareness amongst consumers. So, how did Zoom absolutely annihilate Skype? Hundreds of millions of people all suddenly had the same problem. They needed an easy-to-use meeting system, and fast. And most importantly, it needed to be reliable. Skype had the solution buried somewhere in their list of features. Zoom, however, was the tailor-made solution. Their entire platform was built for this simple function. It worked more reliably for everyone: businesses, families, schools, and universities. Zoom was better than Skype at the one thing it needed to be. As of 2022, 83% of the people in the US knew about Skype, but only 23% of these users said they like Skype, and only 14% said they use it daily. This is the problem. Almost everyone knows Skype, but most people don't like Skype. They don't trust it. Skype had, in a way, abused its position. It was at the top, but wasn't there because it was the best, but the first. It had some unwarranted features, removed valuable ones, changed focus, and most of all, never really had a core identity. This might have been okay in the past, but now the market was full of competitors. Not only that, high-quality competitors. Zoom is built for one purpose: video calls. They're incredible at the one thing they do. Discord is tailor-made for casual gaming communities. FaceTime is the best for iPhone video calls. Slack and Teams compete for business, but are designed from the ground up for exactly this purpose. It's hard to say exactly who Skype was built for, so they were no match for these titans. Their system has been messy and confusing. One user described their experience this way: "For some reason, even though I pay for a number, I still have to pay for each call. Wasn't this the point of a secondary number? I just feel like their offering is so convoluted and could be easily simplified." Combine this with all of the other features, like being unnecessarily resource intensive and the strange removal of beloved features, Skype was left without a target market. But recently, that might be changing. In 2021, Microsoft finally decided that it was time to pull the plug on Skype for Business, encouraging businesses to move to Teams. They're pivoting Skype once again, but this time, it might be in the right direction. So the question is, where? Well, back towards its original purpose: personal communication between family and friends. Since 2021, Skype looks very different. Their marketing focuses mostly on personal communication, showing family calls, fun filters, and a general focus on casual fun. they're integrating new features to fit this audience, including the new tone selection, allowing quick adjustment of messages to be casual, funny, polite, serious, and many more. They've also revamped their interface, now called Skype Messaging 2.0, with improved message replies, stacked photo albums, and more. Better late than never. All of this is great, but who's using Skype now? Is their strategy actually working? Well, the data is quite surprising. The largest group of people using Skype are 25 to 34 at 33%. In fact, over 50% of users are under 34, which is strange. Skype is one of the oldest video conferencing platforms, yet their users are on average younger than those using Zoom. But when you peel back the layers, it actually makes a lot of sense. Many in this age grew up using Skype, as it really was the only way to video call in the 2010s. They might be nostalgic for the platform, and using it for personal calls is just second nature to them. But what's even more surprising is where they're from. Out of Skype's daily active users, an overwhelming amount are from the United States. 80% in fact. Another 16% are from the United Kingdom, meaning that over 96% of Skype's users are from just these two countries. For comparison, only 50% of Zoom's users come from the US, and only 27% of Discord's. Skype is strikingly concentrated with virtually no international presence, but this isn't necessarily a weakness. It shows that they have loyalty within a specific market, and it's better to serve one market well than serve everybody poorly. So what exactly is the state of Skype today? Are they dominating? Are they failing? Well, the answer lies somewhere in the middle. Would you like to make videos like this? Admittedly, it's quite a bit of work, but one tool that's made the entire process much easier is NVIDIA AI. NVIDIA AI was already the leading AI video creation platform with over 25 million users worldwide, but their new update V3 is finally out and has completely changed the game. It enables you to express and communicate your ideas in the form of stunning videos, the kind you've always wanted to create, the kind you'd be excited to share with your peers, in the most seamless, intuitive way possible, irrespective of whatever skill level you're at. You simply start by typing in a prompt for the video you'd like to create, for example, a strawberry-flavored Coke ad. The more descriptive your prompt, the better, though I'd recommend sticking to 30-second to 1-minute segments so that it renders fast and you don't blow through all your credits. And that's it. From here, you can easily fine-tune your video by just using text commands like add my voice. Unlike traditional video tools with steep learning curves that only solve for parts of your video creation process, NVIDIA is the creative partner that you have always wanted, that removes all friction and makes the process so intuitive and fluid that it disappears, letting users focus entirely on the vision of their idea. You can try NVIDIA AI for free, but if you want to use their generative capabilities, I highly recommend that you go for the generative plan that starts at $96 per month. It is the one that I have, and it gives you the most bang for the buck with 15 generative minutes. If you're already an NVIDIA user, you can simply go to the add-on section and buy generative seconds. Thank you to NVIDIA for sponsoring this video. Skype is still going strong at 300 million monthly users and 40 million daily active users, but it's not as impressive as it might seem. Skype isn't growing compared to their competitors, and what's worse is their market share. Before the pandemic, they had 32% of the market, but in 2024, they have as little as 8%. Zoom, for comparison, has claimed 60% of the market. Skype hasn't necessarily declined, but they missed out on the surge of growth their competitors had. They've stayed stagnant, but it's not really surprising. Skype was in trouble from the start. They were such a huge name, but this led to its downfall. eBay acquired Skype and wanted to integrate it, then Microsoft acquired them, but Microsoft soon went with Teams and left Skype out to dry. It seems like Skype is on the right path now, but it's still not perfect by any means. They've still maintained their habit of removing features users love, are pushing new AI features into Skype, and the platform's optimization seems to be worse than ever. But Skype is at least moving in the right direction with the correct focus and target. The question is, will this be enough to keep them alive? Only time will tell. If you're interested in deeper dives, interviews with insiders, and exclusive tech analysis, you can sign up to our free weekly newsletter. Link is below. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.